Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we are predicting episode number 11 of Survivor 46, and we are joined by Kendra from Survivor 45, coming to us from her home in Hawaii. We can hear birds chirping in the background. It sounds wonderful. So Kendra, I'm so glad we were able to pull this off at the last second and get you on here just in time, bright and early for you.
Bright and early. I'm so excited to work out. Life has been a whirlwind. I've been traveling, finally got, but home is like in the middle of the jungle. So we can never really rely on the Wi-Fi out here. Just how they can really never rely on Q, maybe. I don't know. Some similarities going on between the reliability in my life and the reliability on the show. I'm really excited to dig into this week because, woo, it's getting hot out there.
I am very happy that under a minute, we were able to get in that Kendrick may have a little bit of Wi-Fi difficulty, so get ready. And that Q is the equivalent of your Wi-Fi, right? That's where we're at. So this is perfect. Here we are.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about this season so far?
I'm obsessed. I'm almost like, I'm glad I wasn't on 46, but a part of me is like, oh my God, the chaos that would have ensued if I had been like, I want to be on 46 instead of 45. It's just like, it's so much fun. Yeah, I'm having a blast watching it. I'm loving the character development of everyone. I'm loving just like, you really never know what you're going to get with this bunch. And it's just keeping me on my toes. And I just feel like, we're back, baby. Like Survivor is like better than it's ever. Like, it's just so good. I'm really loving it. So super stoked.
It does feel like, yeah, it feels like Survivor is back in a way it hasn't been back in a while, with just blindside after blindside after blindside. And then Kendra, you're here joining us to predict this episode. And I got to say, I know we say this a lot, like this week is hard, but this week is very, very hard. At least for me, when I was looking, I'm like, I could put any of these people 1 to 7 and you could make an argument in the or a case for why they could be number one or number seven or anywhere in between. So best of luck to you. I have not been doing all that well. I missed last week. Actually, I missed the last couple of these, but I would have had Tiff at number one. And of course, Tiff goes home with the 9 alert pocket. So who knows what is going to happen?
Absolutely. I feel like making my list today, I was like, I feel like I could put anyone really anywhere. And I kind of just went with like, I feel like my power rankings are a little wild, but like, we're going to roll with it.
I mean, it's hard to feel like anything's wild at the point where you just watched Hunter and Tiffany both get blindsided with idols in their pockets, back-to-back weeks, different circumstances for each, but two power players, and who Absolutely. They were my preseason one and two, and now they both go out with idols in their pockets. So I'm feeling real good about myself. But, you know, you wonder now, they're talking about maybe another idol being in play this week and people looking for it and everything like that. If you find an idol at this point, you just have to play it, right? There's no reason, there's no way you hold on to it for a week, right?
It's sorry, it's missed so that answer. Oh, play the damn idol. Yeah, there it play is. The damn idol. But I remember just like Jake was kind of a decoy vote, and you're out there and you're just like when I was out there, you're just like, oh, it has to be this person. And then it's not that person and you get blindsided. Like, it just happens one after the other. And so it's just, you know, so different. Like, obviously I'm watching it back, I'm like, play the idol. But it's like, when you're out there, you know that like, it's not that simple, even though it seems that simple. But yeah, let's get into it. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Before we do any ranking, I am Connor here, says Kendra's eyes would pop out if she was on the jury this season. You and Kelly with your facial expressions last season, and you had some good episodes, some good boots, but nothing like what we've seen the last couple weeks here.
The way I was just thinking, because like obviously you like put yourself in scenarios when you're watching TV, like whatever. I'm like, if I was there with like Soda and Tevin, just because they're such lively personalities, first of all, we would have been so annoying on NAMI together, like singing all the time. Second, like the energy on the jury would have been wild because, yeah, that I would have given anything to be at those tribals where with all the blind sides lately. It's so fun.
And so, yeah, I mean, we can kind of dive into this. Last week, the big news was Liz's blow up with her Applebee's, and then she turned around and voted the right way anyway. Kendra, would you have had a similar reaction to Applebee's as Liz had?
You know, at that point in the game, maybe not a similar reaction. And I think my excitement level would have been similar, but like not getting chosen, I don't know. I think I get weirdly quiet when I'm mad. So I actually don't explode. I'm more like when I'm mad, I'm just like quiet. So I probably would have freaked a lot more. The excitement level for Applebee's. Oh my gosh, I would have lost my shit for a quesadilla out there. Like, absolutely lost my mind. Like, I get it. And I just want to say kudos to Liz for being able to like be like, had my feelings, did my thing, because I'm the same way. I'm very emotional and like I just need to feel my things and then it's over with. But kudos to her for being able to like rein it back in, vote the right way, get her shit together. And now it's like she's like, okay. Please, can we get Q out next, probably? Like, she's like, he's got to go. And, like, you know, it seems just, like, hopefully an easy out. Even though I love Q. I love him to death. But I hopefully it's an easy out this next round for in her mind. Of like okay. I gave y'all Tiff this round. We're getting Q this next round.
It's funny. You made the comparison to Jake. Because Jake on your season was kind of always this, like, default boot of like, and you always say, oh, it's the dog pile. I just dog pile votes. That means somebody's in the wrong. And as many times as Jake was a decoy, he did make it to the final three. I'm wondering if could we see the same fate for Q, where it's like, let's just keep him around. He's gonna attract so much attention from the other players. We can always use him as like, yeah, he's ready to quit. He's ready to go home. And then he just ends up in the final three. So do we see any Jake in Q?
I mean, you're reading my mind right there. I'm like, this is somebody who everyone's thinking, let's take him to the end. Like, we're not gonna not win against him. So he's definitely in a good position as far as that goes, which also is why my power rankings were really hard to do today. You know, I'm like, okay, there's just so many ways in which this can go, and really depends on what way the players want to present themselves at that final tribal, because we are starting to think about that now. We're at final seven, so it's like final four. We're gonna start thinking about these things.
And that's where I wonder now, is Q going to be safe? And if Liz wants to push really hard for Q, are they going to say, well, Liz, actually Q is now becoming a viable option? Because I had Kelly on last week, and then we were talking about, you know, the path that this was going to go. And then Blake and I, well, we were talking on Thursday. We were saying, does it make sense at this point if one of the people of SIGA 3, which is Ben, Maria, and Charlie, plus Liz, does it actually make sense if one of them just says, actually, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to work with Q, I'm going to work with Venus, and I'm going to work Kenzie. Sorry, Kenzie's on the other side. It would be Kenzie, Maria, Charlie, Ben. If one of them can pair, like create a group of four with Venus, Liz, and Q, they're probably going to win the game. But yeah, are they going to do that right now, or would they rather vote out somebody like Q? That's really what it comes down to.
I feel go ahead. Sorry. It's hard with the lag.
Oh, no, you go ahead. You go ahead.
No, after you, Will.
Yeah, Will, you're in.
Well, I was going to say that at some point Q becomes a threat as being someone who's, you know, not going to win, or a goat, because then they take up one of those spots at Final Three. So it's really tough to see where we put Q this week, because you could say, okay, he's all the way at the bottom because he has no connections. Then you can say, well, he could be all the way at the top because he's like the number one goat. You want to sit with him. But then you could say, okay, well, actually, we should put him more towards the bottom because he's kind of threatening to be an obvious Final Three participant. And if you're out there, it's like, that's a spot for me. So Q could really land anywhere. And I'm curious where you both have him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to say emotions are running high this season. So I really can more so imagine a world where they vote him out, 'cause they're just like fed up, done, emotional, because like everyone's like really, really just like invigorated emotionally this season. So I can more so picture a sense of where they're just like done and like, are like, okay, let's just stop having this drama at camp, because like it takes a toll on you out there. It's like, how worth it is it to have some that you're bringing when it's literally taking up so much of your headspace trying to like figure out if you can corral them, or you already have too much to think about and your brain's not working fully out there. So it takes up a lot of mental headspace and emotional space. So I can see a world where they're just done. But who knows? Also, bring them to the end, win. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or even if they arrive at being, we're done with Q, we can all agree. All it takes is one person to go, wait a second, if we're all just going to vote Q, this might be a perfect opportunity for a blindside and just repeat the same process. Like, it's hard for me to see this group of people being like, all right, this time we're actually going to go through with it and not use it as an opportunity to advance yourself in the game.
And like, just to say how bad I've been at reading this cast the last couple weeks, I have put Q in the bottom spot of my power rankings for 3 straight weeks. And the people who have gone home, I had Tevin at 3, Hunter at 2, and Tiffany at 3. So I haven't even been remotely close on who the other person other than Q would be. So I'm out here just throwing darts at this point. And hopefully this is going to be the week I'll move Q out of the bottom spot and Q is going to go home 100%. They'll finally say, easy vote, why didn't we just do this earlier? But I got to play it and see where this goes. But I'm excited. I'm excited to dive into this. I feel like there's a lot going on here. If you're listening to this, like this video, subscribe to the channel. Kendra, why don't you start us off and tell us who your number one this week is?
My number one, I was like thinking about it this morning, and I don't, this is crazy. I really don't know how to place these people. My number one is Ben.
There you go. Wow.
I think Ben is actually my number one is Ben right now. He's being talked about in a really positive light. Everyone really likes the guy. He's not seen as very threatening right now. I think he's in a good position to make a move, but he's not a threat like a Charlie or a Maria is right now. He's also not been like making too many waves like a Liz or a Venus or a Q. And Kenzie just got blindsided by her number one. So like, I was like, got blindsided and her number one just left. So I'm like, where do I put these people? And I feel like Ben is just the safest right now. Maybe not so much that he has the most power in this game, but I think he is the most likely to make it to next episode unscathed and hopefully can see what's going on, read the room, and make a move with a Liz, a Venus, maybe even a Q. Like, who knows? Like, maybe he can pull something together, maybe not, but I think he's just the safest. Everyone else, I feel like, is a little has a threat on them, is causing some mm-hmm. chaos, has a target on their back in some way or the other. And Ben, I feel like, is just in a good position, maybe not like autonomy wise, but just making it to the next episode wise. Ben's my guy. Like, if he gets voted out this week, I'm gonna cry because I love him. And I just, I think Ben is gonna make it.
It's funny because Kelly last week, she put Ben at number one too. And I feel like now we're hearing people start to be higher on Ben being safe and at least getting into the finale here, which Will's already smiling, rubbing his evil chin because he's going to come over here. He's going to swoop in and do something crazy with Ben probably.
No,
but
no,
I think what's funny about Ben is there were a couple weeks in a row where he was a target. You know, it was Tim or Ben. Which one is going to go home? We heard Jem or potentially Ben. We kept hearing his name. And now it's at the point where if you're playing this game, I don't know if Ben can win. He might have played too subtle to win the game, even though he is the vibe guy. So that can always get you votes at the end. But if you look at what he has done, every single other person on the island has made themselves a bigger threat in one way or another. And even if it's not a threat to win, it's like a threat to take up my position at final three. If you want to get rid of the person who just made the move, get rid of Maria. She just did it. If you want to get rid of somebody who's a threat to win, Kenzie. Q is a threat because he can take up a spot. Venus is a threat because she can take up a spot. Liz can take up a spot. And then there's Ben just kind of like, okay, like here I am. So I don't have him at number one, but I do like the logic of why Ben is number one this week.
Yeah.
I don't have Ben quite as high, but I was laughing basically because you could have Ben anywhere and I would buy it. I would buy, like, I could see why he could be number one. I could see why he could be all the way at the bottom. Like, I really could see it either way. So that's why I'm just like, wow, Ben to me is not someone I have that all that high, but I totally see why.
Mm-hmm. So, Will, you want to go? Who you got at one?
This might sound crazy, but I got Liz at number one.
Okay.
To me, we had five people vote correctly to blindside Tiff last time. And one of those people was Liz. And I think out of all those people, Liz has the best relationships with the people who were in the dark, which are now Venus and Kenzie. And I think she can go back to them easier than anyone else can. And I think if I'm out there, we have seven people left. I'm looking at the Sega three as Ben, Charlie, and Maria as like that is a threatening group. How did they get the numbers all of a sudden? Because when we merged initially, they had five people, and immediately it's like, let's get Mariah out. And then Tim goes out. But for a while now, they have been skating by the three of them. And the only way I'm really, again, really hard to read this episode, but my main kind of read as I'm putting together these rankings is that the four non-Sigas are going to group together and target the Siga three. They've been three too long, and all three of them are threatening in their own ways. Maria is clearly the strategical leader, and she put the plan on the hit out on Tiff. I think people are going to know that. Charlie is now this challenge beast out of nowhere, winning back-to-back individual immunities. And Ben is like this social, charming threat that everyone loves. And because he's sitting at the end, he is a total threat to win the game. So if I'm out there, hey, maybe this group of four might be the messiest group of four ever, and there's just no way they can get on the same page. And my whole story I'm plotting out here is just not even possible, because we do have Q. We have Liz, who, hey, we saw what happened last week. We have Venus, and then we have Kenzie. Like, are those four really going to get together? Maybe, and maybe not. Maybe that's asking too much of them. But there's also the chance that either Ben, Maria, or Charlie joins any of those three people, three out of the four of that group, to form their own foursome. And it's not like one of the Sega can't turn on their own too. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the Sega three might be going home this week, even though it would take some pretty chaotic personalities to group together and make it happen.
You kind of stole my thunder there. I'm mad. Good. I let you go first thinking that you were never going to put Liz at one, and then you did. So I'm going to swap my one and two just to, so we can all have different number ones.
No, you can put Liz at one. I mean,
I'm putting her at two. Go ahead. No,
I'm just going to say Liz is in a great position. I don't know at this point. I think it's either you're going to go with Q or Venus for taking up a spot at final three as a goat, or you're going to play strategically and take out one of the Sega 3 because they're the strongest power right now in the game.
Yeah.
And for to take out a middling player like Liz would be surprising to me. So,
yeah, no. And I'll put her at two, though. I'll drop her down one spot. But I will say this, is the internet going to explode if Liz ends up winning this season? Because, Will, I know you said
I want it. I said that's the best outcome of the season. I want Liz, Venus, and Q in the final three, and I want Liz to win. And it would be the best, like one of the best seasons of Survivor ever, because I love the mess. I love the unpredictability. I love the chaos. I love when the strategic minds just get absolutely thwarted by the out there and more kookier personalities. So yeah, Maria, I love you. Charlie, I love you, but I want to see Liz win this game.
I like that Kendra is here for the chaos. Kendra, Liz winning in that type of scenario, after we just saw her have this massive blow, would that actually change the way people play Survivor, or would it be like the ultimate one-off ever?
I honestly think it's going to change the way people play Survivor, because it's so important. If she can pull off a win, oh my God, it would be amazing. And it just show that, like, truly being your authentic self, you can win this game. It's like, there's no right way to win this game. And I think that would be so cool with Liz win. Her having this blow up, taking the pieces back together, just being like talking about her journey in the game and hopefully making some moves from here on forward. It's like, she can get to the end. Like, I really do see such a strong case for her. Her lying low on Nami for a while, decimating the rest of her team. Give me a Liz win, please. I also wouldn't hate a Venus win. Like, okay, we'll get to her in a little bit, but like, I wouldn't hate it. I love the chaos. Like, oh, they're really providing for us.
Kendra, you really were. You were on the Bellow tribe, which seemed like the most put together tribe ever until you all exploded post merge. But it felt really put together. It feels like if you had been put on this season, you would have just been like pointing fingers, laughing the entire time. I feel like this was your people right here.
I really do feel that way. I'm like, damn, did I like shoot myself in the foot not saying 46 instead of 45? But it's so funny. It's like, Bellow was messy. Nami's like, hold my beer, like, let me get into this right now, because Nami's just eating themselves. And I love it. I would have had so much fun. Crazy people. I was trying to mix things up, you know, but it's hard. Yeah. It's hard. So
yeah, you had the Reba 4 alliance. That was just super strong. And that's a hard thing to break. This is a totally different season right now of just pure chaos. I love it.
I know. I needed some more emotional, chaotic people like myself, you know, just to kind of like, just be like, hey, let's try it. Whatever. Let's just give it a whirl. Mm-hmm. Get them out.
I mean, based on what's happening this season, that is going to be the norm in 47, 48, 49, for sure. I think we are going to see Q's and Liz's and Venus's like crazy. And they'll throw in a Charlie here and there. But even Ben was definitely cast to be like, you know, kind of like out there energy. You know, he's talking about rock. He wants Van Halen quotes. He wants all of that. It's not like they were casting Ben to be like Captain America, how you can easily follow the trajectory of what his storyline is. And I like that. It's been fun.
I love it so much. So
I didn't do my one.
Okay.
No, we're still waiting. We're still waiting on Phil's number one.
I keep everybody on the edge of the seat. That's what it is. No,
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I'm actually going to put Kenzie. I think Kenzie is going to rebound so well from what just happened here. They didn't want to vote out Tiffany because they wanted to weaken Kenzie. They wanted to vote out Tiffany because she had the idol. They kept specifying that in all of their conversations. She has the idol. We want to make it happen. And Maria wanted to make the move without Kenzie, so Maria could take credit for the move. That might bite Maria in the butt this week, because now Maria, everybody knows, is playing the game and playing it super hard, and that might end up hurting her. But Kenzie just lost her number one. She doesn't have an idol. She doesn't, you know, she has Ben, who's kind of close with her. It seems like everybody likes her enough. But nobody is now going to look at Kenzie and say, oh, there's your big, big, big threat to win the game. I mean, I almost feel like every other person right now, I'm more worried about at least for final seven than I am Kenzie, because Kenzie has to rebound now. She has to scrap. And you know that if you're Maria, if you're Liz, if you're Ben, if you're Charlie, and if you're Q, if Q somehow does this, but the five of them can sit there at Final Tribal Council next to Kenzie and say, we made the Tiffany move happen. You did not. And I actually think that helps Kenzie for this week. And I think Kenzie's good enough of a player that she can bounce back from that and build a huge resume for herself. But at Final Seven, it's not the worst thing if you're on your heels a little bit and you still have a, you still have the ability to gain momentum. So putting her at one, and I got Liz at two.
Couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Liz is my number two, actually. And there then I go. Got, yep, I got Ben, I got Liz, and then I got Kenzie at number three. So I feel like we're reading this very similarly. Her, she's a free agent now. She can kind of, I think it's good for her to not be in the spotlight. And she's kind of done a really good, like, she's super likable, super personal, doing really well, like, strategically and socially. Like, I think she's reading the game really well, like, wanting to get Tiff out. Even though she didn't make that move, she's like, okay, this is about the time that I got to start doing this. It's like, I can see a way forward for her where she is kind of in the back seat, making moves. She's has a strong social standing. Like, you see nothing, you see people just talking really good about her. Everyone seems to really like her and respect her. I mean, Q gave her a round of applause a couple weeks ago at Tribal Council for being like, this chick is amazing. It's like, okay, clearly she's in a good standing. So I have her at my number three right now, and then Liz at number two, because Liz, I feel like you said, is has good relationships with the people who are kind of like, besides Q, but the people who are kind of like on the bottom now. And I think she has a really good like mind, and she really, really wants to make a move, which can be scary. But for someone like her, where I feel like people maybe aren't taking her super seriously because of her emotions, they, that she is going to be able to pull off something because she's just, she wants it. She wants to make a move. Liz is out here. She wants to play, and I think that that is going to give her some, like, momentum in this game. I really do. Maybe Liz and Kenzie will link up, and Ben, like, I'm really curious as to what happens this week. But, yeah, Ben, Liz, Kenzie are my top three for power rankings right now.
Got it. Got it. Which of those three, out of curiosity, and I always ask at the end who your actual winner pick is, so maybe this is spoiling that, but who out of those three do you think actually has the best chance to win out of Ben, Liz, and Kenzie?
I think Kenzie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It feels like she's in the worst spot, but then when you look at everything that's happened, it's her.
Yeah, I think... I don't know how the jury's reading Ben or Liz right now. You know what I mean? Like, say if it was against those two at the end, like, I think out of those three, I would say, but I could also see a world where, I don't know, Liz and Ben also, if they make it to the end, like, I really do see that they have a possibility. Oh gosh. Yeah. I want to say Kenzie because she, everything that people are saying about, they really like her. But I could also see a world where if Liz makes it to the end, she's taking it because she's mm-hmm. just be so convicting. And I think she would do a really good job explaining her story and the way she got to the end, which is, I mean, yeah, everything at that final tribal council.
Yeah. I mean, we saw that on your season, D and Austin, it could not have been any closer. And pretty much D's one line of, I actually knew about that, pretty much got her that one vote. That was it.
Crazy. That final tribal council was insane. I was sweating the whole time. It's like, I don't know what I'm
doing. $1 million for you, but you're still sitting there just like feeling like there's that much on the line, right? Like, it's that
there
crazy.
Was. It is. Yeah. There's so much on the line. And so, yeah, that is great question. Anyways, yeah. Those three are, I feel like, sitting pretty, but who freaking knows?
Will, who do you have it to?
I am still feeling very similar with you guys on this one. I have Kenzie at two. And my main thing with Kenzie is that she wanted to get rid of Tiffany. This was kind of her idea that she even told Maria about and Charlie about and was like, this is going to be my move. I need to take out my number one ally to have a resume and all that. She goes to tribal council. She decides, hey, this isn't the time. Let's just get Q out. And then Maria and Charlie... pull it off without her and take all the credit for it. I think Kenzie will know exactly how to read this and be like, okay, we got to go after Maria and Charlie. Like, that is going to be her game plan right when she gets back, maybe even that night from Tribal Council, that first scene we get. We might get a confessional for her being like, oh my gosh, they stole my move. This was my idea. I mean, the show made it very clear to us that Kenzie wanted to do this. And the fact they left her out and did not loop her in and say, hey, we're doing this or not, you want to at least vote with us? That they omitted her from the vote. They didn't even need her to do it, and she voted incorrectly. I think she's going to be pissed. And we know Kenzie's a player. She's a fighter, and she's not going to just say, oh man, I lost my number one ally. We had an idol and I was out of this vote and all that. Like, no, I think she is going to go to Q. She's going to go to Venus, Liz. She's going to try to rally the troops. And I do think she will be successful in getting the vote onto one of the Sega three. So I have Liz at two. And also, if she isn't able to do that, even if she fails, I do think the Sega three looks at her as like this lone Yanu because Q's on his own island. Tiffany's gone. So like Kenzie, she's just a floater in the game without an idol. Why do we really have to target her or worry about her at this point? Especially like Phil, you just said, if we sit with Kenzie at the end, we can hold this move over her that she was not in on it. She voted incorrectly. And so why target Kenzie now? So I got Kenzie at two. She's one of the few players I do feel good about this episode. I think after Liz and Kenzie, I really, the next five, I really don't feel good. I could see any five of them going home.
And I want to point out something Kendra said earlier too, where she was saying, you know, there's people that you're playing the game with where you say, okay, I can beat them at the end, but then it's also really taxing because if you're not necessarily getting along with them, how long can you keep putting up with them? All that. I think if you're Ben, Charlie, and Maria, the one you're going to get along with the best out of the other four is Kenzie. And so if you it could just come down to, we like her the most, so let's get her through at least one or two more votes.
And we can still beat her. Yeah, because we pulled that move. Yeah, we pulled that move out without her. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm definitely not counting Kenzie out. That's for sure. My number three, I'm going to have Charlie. So I'm the first one to mention him. And I know he's become like the challenge beast and everybody's wondering why his name's not coming up. And the Alla Gabler said it this week. He's hiding in plain sight. And the Alla Gabler won with that. So I guess I kind of have to give a little merit when Gabler says something like that, he can see that this is the person hiding in plain sight. Maybe I need to take something from that because I've never won Survivor, but he did. So maybe Charlie's just that good. I don't know. But when all of this chaos is going on, nobody's saying Charlie's name. And I know that he's winning immunities, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like people are seeing him as the same type of threat that Hunter was. And I think people are going to be way more worried about Maria right now because Maria just made the huge strategic social move. And that is what the new era is more afraid of than somebody who just goes and wins an immunity or two. And I think Charlie is the front runner in every single immunity challenge from here on out. So I like that. I like that they're not really looking at him as somebody that they need to be worried about as maybe winning. I don't know, but I'm going to put him at number three ahead of the chaotic four at the bottom that I'm very excited to dive into. But yeah, Charlie.
Yeah, I think that's Charlie is in a good position right now. What kind of scares me about Charlie is like, are they going to, but I don't know. Are people seeing Maria and Charlie as like the duo, or are they seeing it as like Sega 3? That's what I'm wondering, because Charlie, for me, I'm like a little nervous about. Not that I don't have him next as number four, but in a world where somebody goes after somebody's the big player's number one, so they can't make moves anymore. It's like, oh, if we can't get Maria, let's get Charlie out. Like, that's the only thing for him that I'm like a little nervous about moving forward. But we're on our number threes, even though I already revealed mine, right? I don't know.
Yeah. But if you just revealed your number four, that's fine. You can just discuss.
I did just reveal my number four.
Yeah, if you want to just talk, go ahead and talk Charlie at four then. Go ahead. You got him right.
Well, we've been talking a lot about Kenzie, and Kenzie's my number three. Yeah, I just felt like having Ben, I just feel like he's good. Liz, I feel like she's in a good position. Kenzie, also feel like she's in a good position. Yeah, when it comes to the Sega 3 trying to also, I love how we say like Sega 3 because like Tika 3 has made that like a thing, like One World's. Yeah. Anyways, Survivor slang. It's great. I feel like out of who's left, they could potentially see her as the most viable option with somebody to work with, because it's like, okay, Maria and Venus, like Maria's already said that she's annoyed by Venus, like Liz is Liz, Q is Q. So I could see a world where they're like, Kenzie, sorry for getting your person out, but we were already on the same page. It's no big deal. And maybe Kenzie will be a little charming and be like, yeah, totally fine. And then, you know, work with them for a round, then get Maria Charlie out. I think she's in a good position. So that's my number three. And then since I already revealed my number four, Charlie's my number four. I feel like, yeah, why is nobody talking about him? I love the sentiment of him hiding in plain sight. Allie Gabler quote there. And yeah, he's killing the immunity challenges. And it's so funny because when I got back, I was like, the one thing I wish I worked on more was my grip strength. Truly. That's like the number one thing for like so many challenges, whether it's like, so he ain't lying. Work on your grip strength if you want to go on Survivor. And yeah, I feel like he's in a good position. Maria has a huge target on her now. So I feel like he could actually potentially use this momentum. And if he's going to flip, maybe now's the time to flip. Work with the Q, work with the Venus, work with the Liz. It also seems like he has a pretty good social standing with most people. Like for the most part, I at least like the way, like who, like way him and Tiffany were talking during the Hunter vote out, I believe it was, when he was like, yeah, you don't need to play your idol. Like, I didn't think that they were like that close like that, but clearly they have a working relationship. And so I'm wondering what other working relationships he has with everyone else on there. So Charlie's my number four. I also think he is a big threat to keep winning these individual immunities. Love to see it. I'm really, really, really enjoying Charlie this season. I love his little like devious smile that he does during the challenges. It's like my favorite thing. I'm like
devious smile slash painful grimace. It's a mix of like, those two things, right? Yeah. He's just got the tongue going.
It's been so great. So more of that, please. So let's keep Charlie in the game so we can get more like evil grins. And yeah, I think he's in a good position. And if it's time, if he's thinking about flipping, now might be a good time, because if he can get some people under him, and Maria already has a big target, I mean, it's looking good. It's looking good.
Silver for platter.
Switching it up. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, that's my number four. Three and four.
Will, who do you have at three and four?
Well, before I get to three, I just want to jump into this conversation about Charlie and Maria. Just why hasn't anyone looked at them or gone after them, or they're hiding in plain sight? I think this is the episode where they do kind of rise above from hiding in plain sight to being like, oh my gosh, they are in control of this game. So many of the votes we've seen this season have been, like Jake would say from your season, like they've been a dog pile where so many people are working together. Like we had almost everyone vote for Mariah, I believe. And then we had the split tribal, and then everyone got on board to vote for Tevin, or almost everybody. I think Hunter was the only one left out of that vote. And then the remaining play, the Hunter boot was like a vote split between Hunter and Q to, you know, make sure Hunter, if he plays his idol, they have to vote on Q. But that was like eight people working in unison. And then the vote on Hunter, I think Liz was the only one left out of it. So this Tiffany vote, it was like the first vote that really revealed that the Sega 3 are continuing to work together. Now they've like separated themselves from the rest of the group, where the group, the majority of the group has been working together every vote. And I know we've had blindside after blindside, but it still has been a large group of people coming together to execute a vote. When this is the first time that it was a small group, because only five people voted that way, and they did have to pull in Q and they had to pull in Liz. So I now think it's going to be clear to everyone out there that Maria, Charlie, and to an extent Ben, that I don't know if they'll be called the Sega 3, or if they will, you know, look at more Charlie and Maria as a duo or a pair, but they will get heat. I really would be surprised if even someone like Q, or even Venus, even Liz, being like, these are the people running the game. So I think they've kind of outed themselves here by getting Tiffany out and not including, you know, everyone else, as that's how every vote has gone. So with that being said, at number three, I have Venus.
Thanks.
Why would we target Venus at this point? If you want to get rid of a goat, then you're going to probably get rid of Q, because he's the most irritable, and kind of what Kendra's been saying, like, you still have to put up with these people and live with them. Who's going to ruin your game? I know, at least from Maria and Charlie's standpoint, like Maria has said multiple times, you know, I actually like Q. I trust Q. He's a number for me. So I know that's true for Maria, but there are also six other people out here that don't really like Q, or maybe five other people we don't. So even Ben has said, I don't like Q. We know Liz doesn't like Q. Kenzie's been fed up with Q. So if the vote is really going to go that way, or the vote is going to go that way to eliminating one of these GOAT players who doesn't really have a strong alliance, is kind of floating along on their own, I think it goes to Q before it goes to Venus. And then I also think Venus, this is a perfect spot for her. We're finally at final seven for her to be looped in on a plan. Again, there's a very strong chance that Maria or Charlie decide I need to take out the other before the other takes me out. So if Maria says, hey, Charlie didn't win immunity, I gotta rally some votes against Charlie, she can go to Venus. If Charlie thinks the same thing about Maria, he can go to Venus. If Kenzie wants to get something going, who else are you going to go to?
Yeah.
Venus. So I got Venus at number three. Feeling I would be really surprised if the vote turned on to her, but she really doesn't have a strong alliance. Like, she's really got nobody, it seems like. So that's my only issue with her. She could kind of be, let's say Q wins immunity and we want to eliminate a goat or something. Hey, she could easily go home. She doesn't really have anyone like vying for her or protecting her in the game, but she should be safe here.
Yeah. And when I look at Venus, what's funny about it is she's been such a focal point of the edit, and like they've been showing so much Venus, and Venus just been beaten down, like left and right. I mean, Venus just can't catch a break. And then this week we see all of the people she wanted out go home. Now it feels like, all right, is Venus's game going to start? I like the thumbs up there. Kendra gave a thumbs up for anybody only listening. But so then she gets the three people she wants to go home, and now she can start to play her game. And it ends up being a 5-3 vote, and she's on the wrong side of it. Nobody clues her in. But when Tiff was going home, Venus didn't look upset. It wasn't like Venus felt like, you know, you could see early in the game when Venus wasn't getting people to go home that she felt should go home. It was really aggravated, and you could see it on her face. She's not hiding. And in that moment, when Tiff went home, she didn't look around. It didn't look like she was looking around saying, what the hell, everybody? It seemed like she was like, okay, this is fine. And I actually do have her at number four, because I feel like with Venus, the reason I put her in the middle is because you could always just say, okay, let's get rid of Venus. I'm worried she's taking a spot, or Q wins immunity. And, you know, you say Liz is blowing up still, so Venus is the easy boot. But I just feel like you're right. And now I feel like they are going to want to clue her in, let her feel like she's getting some agency again, and use her as a vote. Because, yeah, I mean, yeah. Kendra, I don't know. I mean, Kendra, did you have anybody on your season that was coming even remotely close to like Venus, Q, Liz, anybody like that, or no?
As like chaotically wise, or like
just as like almost as. I want to say like getting frustrated with like the game that was being played around them, like kind of feeling like I really want this to happen. Is it just Jake?
I mean, definitely Jake. Like, I feel like that was such a thing for him, is like, I just to go back on the dogpiling thing. I wonder if that has become kind of like this, like voting mechanic for tight allies to be hiding in plain sight. You know, it's like, We've seen this happen in the past two seasons, and you know, it's like, it feels so weird to dogpile, because you're like, shouldn't it be more and it is more complicated than it sometimes, but it's like the dogpiling is an interesting way for people to stay hidden, because it's like, if you're including everyone, then I don't have to out myself and I don't have to out my allies quite yet. So I actually see that as like a really, it's like, I don't know, I haven't, it's just the past two seasons, there's just been a lot of dogpiling. In my season, there's so much dogpiling. And I think that was a way that like the tighter alliances stayed hidden for longer. But yeah, Jake was like, why are we playing this way? And I felt the same way too. But, you know, I had a hard time kind of like getting traction to do something that I wanted to do because, yeah, everyone was either just trying to hide their cards too much or didn't, or just wanted to go with the numbers. And I remember that being like the biggest thing. And like, I'm not a super survivor savvy person. Like, I didn't study strategy. I was just kind of like winging it, you know, just to see how far I could go out there. But then like learning what they're like, you know, you need to be on the numbers for the first merge vote. You can't, like, we all have to be on the same. I'm like, but I don't want to vote like that. You know what I mean? Like, I want to vote for the person I want to vote for. And so it's definitely like, I felt frustration out there a little bit, just being like, okay, like, I feel like I can see the move that needs to be made for me, but like, I can't get traction under it because nobody wants to like either reveal themselves or go against the grain of what's going on. If it's easy, if it's not me, it's like very much the, oh, if it's not me, then whatever. But it's like, is that the best gameplay for everyone involved or just for one or two people? So yeah, it's definitely Jake definitely experienced that out there. Mm-hmm. I think the most out of anyone on our season.
Yeah, I think this is probably the most we've seen, like most people on a cast who are experiencing that. I feel like a lot of people are feeling that way. I feel like Liz probably got her footing last week, but even Q, he votes out Tiffany. It goes that way. He's probably happy Tiff's gone because, you know, they had such a falling out, but it didn't feel like it was Q's move. Q was so, he's such a control freak for so long. And then that happens and it doesn't feel like he was in control of that, but Will,
but maybe
like,
Q thinks it's, maybe Q thinks it's Q's move though. And maybe Maria is so good that like they were talking about Tiff and then like Maria even like fake planted the seed and Q thinks he put that thing together. I think there's a very real world where that's the case.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Too. Especially that if that's something that somebody wanted to do for a while and then it finally comes to fruition and they're like, oh, it's me. Just, and we saw that with Venus earlier in the season too. She's like, that was my move. And they're like, it wasn't your move, but it's like with her intentions, like, but it's hard when you've been thinking about something for a while and somebody else kind of like pushes the motion. It's like, and you know, claiming moves or whatever. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
It is. It is. They're very concerned about the meta, but Will, who do you have it for?
At four, I have Q. Because I don't think he's going home. I kind of teased this earlier, probably in a couple different ways. One being, if everyone just arrives at Q again, there's no way these players are just going to go. At this point, we've seen enough evidence that they are not going to just go through with it. So it's like, okay, let's all write down Q. We all agree. And then someone goes, well, wait a second. What if we got out Maria? What if we got out Liz, or like, what if we get out? I mean, it's going to happen, and I think at this point they just have to accept that they're not getting rid of Q, and you better get him on your side because you know he's going to find his way into the numbers somehow. And hey, maybe this becomes Q's winning story that he fell to the bottom, became a goat, and then he ended up being on every right side of the blind side because people had to come to him to make the move. So, because he was always the decoy, he was always the alternative. And so I would just be so surprised now that we've seen it a few times in a row that they're like, okay, all six of us, let's agree. Like Kenzie is going to go up to Maria and be like, all right, you left me out of the last vote. You did my idea without me. We're good. Let's just vote all vote Q. Like, I just really don't see that happening. I would be very surprised, especially down to final seven. Like Kendra said earlier, final four is not that far away and you can't even vote someone out at final four. So I think we have ramped up into like, this will be a heavily contested vote. And for them to just land on Q, which has been just the smoke screen the whole time, it wouldn't feel right to me for this season. So if they can get it together, good for them. I don't see it happening, but he is like, there's a reason he's not a one also.
Kendra, I know you had a big reaction, but I just need to repeat this for all our listeners so they can really understand. Will's top four were Liz, Kenzie, Venus, Q. That's his top four. So that's where his head Asiga, is at.
I think Asiga is going home this week. I think Asiga, even if Charlie wins the challenge and Maria finds an idol, I do think that one of the Asiga three has to go this week. It's the only thing that can make sense here.
Your fan fiction, man. It's coming out on the podcast.
I mean, it's a version of how things could go. There's definitely a world where those three stay together and Q's like, I'll just stay with these people. And then it's four against like my top three, basically. And those are the people that go. But I don't know. I think Q even is probably maybe he's not. Maybe Maria, again, maybe Maria convinced him it was his move. But I feel like he's, even Q has got to be like, Figa's running the show right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, just who's going to listen to Q? So Kendra, who do you have at five? Do you, is it one letter or do you have multiple letters in your number five?
I have multiple letters. Okay. I got Venus at five.
Okay.
Yeah. Like figuring out this list was really, really difficult because it really could go so many different ways. I'm like, who's looking at her? But also it's like, oh, if we say, depends on who wins immunity, just being like, oh, let's just get Venus out. Especially if she does try to, once again, she is somebody like Liz who wants to make a move, who wants to be playing this game, who wants to be autonomous in this game. And so I can see a place in which she gets traction and is able to make a move, or if she tries to make a move and it doesn't land and they're just like, she's playing too hard again. We got to get her. She's got to go. So I have Venus sitting at number five. Yeah, I'm really, we have like a lot of like free agents right now, I feel like. So it's like, we got Kenzie, we got Liz, we got Q, we got Venus. It's like, where are they going to go? Like, are they going to band together? Are they going to, like, it's so interesting. And I think that Venus, you know, even though she's gotten a lot of like attention early in the season, I feel like she's kind of starting to like just chill right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that she can make some moves, get some traction. I really enjoy watching Venus. And so, yeah, I have her at the number five spot because, yeah, it could go either way. Maybe she's going to start playing too hard again and then people are going to be like, she's got to go. Or she could just be a vote out if the Sega 3 want to stay together and they're trying to look at somebody to get. Or she can start rising above.
Yeah.
Who knows? Or yeah, she's got my number five spot.
I know it's crazy to say this because it's final seven, so it feels like you should have a 4-3 almost every time, but you could end up in a scenario where Venus's vote isn't the most important vote to anybody, and she's not the target. And so, like, we just saw it in the last episode. She was left out, but they weren't coming after Venus in any way, shape, or form. They were going after Tiff. She just happened to be on Tiff's side, but I don't think anybody's looking at it going, okay, good, we got rid of Tiff. Now it's Venus's turn. And they might, if this other group of five is serious, Kenzie could just be sent packing right now. But I think Maria showed last week that she's willing to walk back and forth, up and down the beach to get everybody on her side, even though we're all ranking her pretty low. We all know that she's going to put in the work to try to make that happen. I have Ben at five. And I think that Ben could be in a little bit of trouble. I think what scares me with Ben is that Maria and Charlie are the two from my eyes. And so if that's what they're showing me, it makes me feel like maybe, I'm sure Ben was doing things with the two of them, but the fact that he's being pulled in at the last second makes me worry just from like watching so many seasons of Survivor. And I say, oh man, is Ben going to be the guy that is expendable to Sega, or he is the Sega who gets blindsided and ultimately goes home and wakes up Charlie and Maria to the fact that maybe they're not in as much control as they think they are. It could go either way with that. I still put him at five. I still have him above Maria and Q. I don't know. It's just like Ben, anytime he goes would not be the most shocking thing to me. And I also wouldn't be shocked if he sits at Final Tribal and pulls it out. Like, I feel like any position for Ben 1-7 makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. It's difficult to place Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Will, who's your five?
At five, I have Charlie. Again, we're just rolling with the fan fiction that Sega is one of these Sega people are going home. I think Charlie's probably the safest out of the three. One is that he has the best chance to be safe when he wins the immunity challenge. And I don't even know if that's something he wants to do. If he really wants to win three in a row, that might put too big a target on his back. But even if he doesn't win the challenge, I think he's the most understated. And I think he's, you know, people have said he's played a great social game, but I don't think he's outwardly playing strategically and hard to the people not really close to him. I think Maria obviously knows that Charlie is a strategic threat and, you know, really thinking about the game and the numbers. But one of those secret scenes from Q was that, oh yeah, Charlie's just here. He's along for the ride, having fun, and like doesn't even realize how hard Charlie is playing. And that might be the perception of other people on the tribe. So they could just be like, hey, this is like this like skinny little athlete you know, he was a runner and he got lucky in two challenges. He's not this like big physically fit guy. So I don't know if his threat level is that high. So he has a chance to be safe by winning. He also has a chance to be safe just by not being the target. So I feel pretty good about Charlie, but in this world where Asiga's going home, he has to be in my bottom three. Mm-hmm. And I think we do have to ask ourselves this question on the podcast: who is more likely to turn against who first? Is it Charlie putting something together against Maria, or is it Maria putting something together against Charlie? And for me, the answer to that question is absolutely Charlie against Maria, because Maria has been the one more outwardly putting these moves together. She's the one that went to Q on the boat and consoled him and was able to get his vote. She's the one that went to Liz and got that vote together. So I think Charlie at some point has to realize, I cannot win this game sitting next to Maria. She is going to beat me. And hey, maybe he doesn't realize that yet, but if they are going to turn on each other, if this duo is going to fall apart, I think Charlie is going to do it sooner than Maria would do it. So that puts him in a good spot if he sees this coming. So yeah, Charlie at five.
Kendra, who do you think would turn on who first in that situation? Do you think Charlie would turn first, or do you think it would be Maria?
I think it would be Charlie too. I think Maria thinks she's driving the bus and that Charlie's got her back. But I think Charlie is a smart guy. It's funny that he's being perceived as like not like threatening or like that cute.
It is weird, right? Because
it's so interesting how people perceive you out there. Yeah. It's like really crazy. He's like, he's just along for the ride, but like, I feel like just like, I don't know why that Charlie Tiffany interaction with the idol made me think of Charlie in such a different way, but it really did, because I was like, dang, like she really is like listening to him. And I feel like he would turn on Maria first, because I think he would get a lot of traction for it, because people can see that Maria is making the moves. And I think that Charlie is non-threatening enough, clearly, to other people's perceptions, that they could be like, oh, like, yeah, like maybe I can claim this as my move, because, you know, Charlie's so kind of floating along, it's like, yeah, oh, maybe I can get some power with this and go with this idea and start making moves from there. But it's like, yeah, I'm so curious as to why he's being perceived that way, because in my mind, I think Charlie's playing a great game and I think he has a really good read on everything. So it's just funny, like our perception versus the people in the game's perception. But yeah, I would say that Charlie would probably turn first. For Maria to turn, I feel like as soon as she starts putting that out there to other people, they're just going to turn on her for some reason. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, Maria is making this plan to get out Charlie, and they're just gonna be like, wait, she's getting out Charlie, like she's making too many, like we got to get her to go. I feel like her instigating that would actually make her leave sooner.
I do agree with that. I think that what would happen with, if Charlie wants to turn on Maria this week, it could work, because I think that everybody would say, okay, Maria just made the move, let's do it, Charlie, you're right. But I think if they get through an easier, more laid back vote this week, then Maria becomes the person who could turn on Charlie first, because I think Maria will get concerned as she starts getting closer to the jury that they're going to look at her and Charlie's games as the same game, and that they're going to do what so many other juries have done in the past, which is give it to the younger guy over the older female. And I think that's going to start playing in her head, because she's a huge fan. She knows this game inside and out. It's clear from her gameplay. She knows it. And I think she's going to start to get worried about that, but she needs the dust to settle from this vote. And if that means taking a back seat and dipping down under, I keep saying the alligator, but dipping down under, then that's what she has to do and be okay with it. Get rid of whoever they want, and next week resurface. And maybe that's when you try to take out Charlie. Because I think doing it now, I think, Kendra, you're 100% right. It would do her in, and we would all be seeing. And that's why we'll have Maria in our bottom two this week. So, you know, it's going to happen. But Kendra, we're going to save you for last, because we always save the best for last, which is the guest, because everybody wants to hear. That's what keeps them hanging around. So I'll do mine quickly, and then we'll get back to Will's fan fiction. I do have Maria at six. I do have Maria at six, and I have Q at seven. I said I was going to keep.
I thought you weren't going to do it with putting Q at seven.
I'm putting Q in the last spot every week. And
how does that happen? I mean, explain to me how it lands on Q.
Here's how it happens. Here's how it happens. After the last couple votes, they have been crazy. they have been blindsides. We had a split vote blindside guy with an idol, even though they don't all know that he had an idol because they don't know if he's telling the truth or not. Then we have Tiffany go home with an idol. Everybody knows that for sure. People are on edge. People are really high up. People are really concerned. And now they say, okay, let's make the easy vote this week. And Q is that easy vote. And I think that right now, like I just said with Maria, if she tries to take out Charlie this week, it's too big of a move. If Charlie tries to take out Maria this week, it's too big of a move. Now maybe people start to say, let's take out Maria. Let's make that happen. But I do think Maria has enough people around her right now with the Sigas and potentially with Liz now that they might say, you know what? We don't want to let you take out Maria. So I think Maria simultaneously made her move too early, but also made her move at the perfect time because there really wasn't going to be another time to make this happen without Kenzie. So now she's the threat. But I think that if there's people who want to protect Maria, the easy boot then becomes Q. Also, I'll say this. I keep putting Q at the last spot. And I said, the second I move him out of that spot is the week he's going to go home. And I don't necessarily want Q to go home. So I'm going to keep him in the bottom spot. I'm going to keep doing the reverse jinx. And Q is going to hang around. He's going to keep causing chaos. And it's going to be great. And probably, who did I put at number three? I put Charlie at three. He's probably the one sent packing because everybody in my top three has been going home the last couple of weeks. So I don't know. I'm kind of reverse playing my power rankings right now. But I just think easy votes happen every season. And I could see this being the easy vote, the calm after the insane storm that we've watched the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, especially for this, this is final seven. And for whatever reason, seven is a pivotal vote in any Survivor season. And the players on this season seem to be big fans. I think Maria knows that. Charlie knows that. Kenzie knows that. At least those players do, and maybe even more. Maybe Venus knows that. I mean, Venus was talking about doing a 3-2-1 on Tevin when they split into, you know, the group of six. Like, she's a big fan. I think seven is just a number that rings so heavy in a Survivor fan's ears that it's not a vote where you, you know, take the back seat and do the easy thing. And we've already seen them not do the easy, obvious thing for a few votes in a row now. So for that to happen at seven would be quite surprising. And I think something we might be forgetting too is that Maria doesn't even want Q to go. Like, Maria wants Q in the game, and she's kind of holding the power. So I think it either flips against Maria, or if Maria maintains that power, she's not going to want to see Q go. So at least that's where I'm seeing Q. I like this because I could be completely wrong. Like, if Liz could go, you know, Kenzie could go, Venus could go. So again, doing our best to kind of predict what's going to happen on an absolutely chaotic season.
So what is your 6-7 then, Will, before we turn it over to Kendra? What do you close out?
My 6 is Ben. I think Ben is someone that Charlie and Maria view as like their expendable number. Like, we will use Ben as far as we need him. But once we don't need him, like, even if someone comes up to them saying, hey, you guys are three left, becoming powerful, they might offer Ben up as a sacrifice to say, hey, then let's go into this final 6-2-2-2. You know, that could be the case. It could be Charlie wins another challenge and Maria finds an idol. Something that has come up in the preview is that there is a idol re-hidden, or at least it appears that way. And if that ends up in the hands of a Sega 3, and then the other Sega member of the Sega 3 wins the challenge, then it could easily just say, Ben, let's let it fall to Ben. And then also something that we probably aren't seeing as much as the show is telling us is that, like, we haven't seen the strategy from Ben and how hard he's playing and the gamesmanship. But I do think people out there are saying, if that guy gets to the end, like, people are going to vote to give that dude $1 million. I don't care what he's done in this game. He is so likable and charming and has such good energy that if he's at final three, and that's one of these votes we often see in these seasons where we're like, why would they target Ben? He hasn't done anything strategically. It doesn't matter because the goal of the game is to be likable enough at the end for people to vote for you. And so Ben might be a way, way bigger threat than we are being told as an audience. And so when he goes home, we're like, why did they leave Maria in? She's been running the show. Ben could be a bigger threat than Maria to Venus, to Liz, to Kenzie. So I do fear that Ben could be the vote. So that obviously leaves Maria at seven, which is crazy because she made the best move. I think the more we've talked this out, and I think Kendra was even saying that, yeah, maybe it's smarter to just do the dog pile because that's a way you can obscure your alliance. And maybe that's what Maria should have done. I know that's difficult with you know, Tiff having an idol, but imagine she brings in Kenzie on this boat, and imagine she brings in Venus on this boat, and makes it look or sound like it was their idea. Like she goes to up to Kenzie and says, "Hey, Kenzie, I remember last time you were talking about, you know, voting for Tiff, and you know it didn't really work out. She's going to play her idol, but are you still like, would you want to do that? Because we're kind of thinking about it. This was your idea. Do you want to move forward with it?" And even convince Kenzie to join her. And so it doesn't really out that this group of Sega 3 are like kind of working as a unit. And so that might have been the biggest flaw in this move, was that she wasn't able to like disguise it with the dog pile as Jake has coined. And I love that phrase. We keep using it over and over. So yeah, I love it. It's a season 45, you know, evolution of the game, a new game term. And so Maria, as good as the move was, I think everyone out there knows she's the biggest threat to win right now. It almost reminds me of the Omer vote in season 42, where Omer takes out, who did he take out, Phil or Kendra? Can you remind me? Who did Omer take out? Who was the strategic beast? Or it was a big move in that. Kendra's not the one to know.
He voted out, so I've only watched 42 once.
Okay, I've rewatched it. Wasn't it
the high vote?
He took out Drea.
Oh, it was the Drea vote. That's right. Yeah, because that was when high voted.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Drea used two votes on Mike, but he took out Drea. Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. And then immediately Marianne turns around and says, "Wait, Omar is running the show," and notices it and takes out Omer. So I do think there is part of that that could happen with Maria, where she's just overexposed her hand at this point, and it's too threatening to the others. So sorry, Maria. I think if she survives this week, like, very good chance she wins the game. I still think there's a chance she wins the game. I don't know that she's going, but looking out of all the players here, she to me is the most obvious person to take out.
All right, Kendra, who do you have in your bottom? We know who you have in your bottom too. What order do you put them in?
All right, I've got Maria at number 6. I think this plan that she's cooked up and that she executed, go back to the dog pile thing. I wish she had kind of like been a little bit more discreet about it, because I really like Maria. I really like all of this cast, but Maria is just a badass in my mind. She's just a badass. I really, really like her. Super badass. And so I wish that maybe there was a little bit of like a little bit more foresight of like, okay, I'm really going to kind of be revealing myself now. And that, you know, revealing yourself we're at 7. It's like, either you're going to make it past and like, hopefully make it to the end. Maybe people are going to, but it's so hard at 7 to think in the way of like, oh, people maybe see me as a big threat so they can get me out in the next couple, but she's definitely capable of winning a individual immunity, finding an idol. So I feel like she would be a very dangerous person to not get out this round. And like I said, I really feel like if Charlie's going to flip, I think it should be now, but I think it needs to be in a way of like he needs to disguise this. He cannot be the showrunner for this, this move, because I don't want what happened to Maria to happen to him. So I don't want him driving this bus. I want him to like invite everyone to get on the bus and be like, oh, we're all doing it together, you know? So I have Maria at 6. And then I have Q at the bottom. Yes, although he is the person that people could go to for that like extra vote or whatever. It's like his autonomy is kind of gone in this game. I think people, just from an astrological perspective.
Here we go. Finally. Took an hour and 6 minutes.
I've been holding it in. you know, this is the lens in which I view Survivor. And we have a lot of emotions going through this game. I was actually looking through kind of a guesstimate of what was going on, the transits that were going on while they're filming this episode, like this day last year. It is hot out there. I can see a world in which like they really do get like emotionally fed up. We can see that this cast is like reactive. there's just been so much tension. There's just been so much confusion. I can see a world in which they're like, can we just be done? Can we just play our own games? Like Q, where even if he doesn't have autonomy, is still running the show because we still have to like deal with him for everything. And like, I know me out there, either I would love him or I would not at all. Like I would either think he's hilarious and like want to work with him, maybe do a Maria thing, or he would drive me insane. So it's like one or the other. And I feel like tensions just from like my astrological perspective, looking at what was going on this while they were filming this episode in this week, I'm like, ooh, I can really see it running high, people getting hurt. And there's a lot of Pisces this season. So he's a Pisces. Like there's a lot of just like emotional waters.
Shout out Pisces.
Pisces. I'm gonna save it. Not right now. I'm gonna do a little astrological after show and spill all the tea after the season's over. But yeah, I can see a world in which Q can go.
Yeah.
It might be time for
Michael O'Brien says Q is in retrograde.
Oh my God. Q is in retrograde. That's hilarious. I love that so much. Yeah. Q's been in retrograde. Him just wanting to like leave the game. He's not sure. It's communications everywhere. But yeah, Q's at my bottom of the power rankings. And I will be sad to see him go for sure because. Ooh, the man is phenomenal TV, great narrator. And I think that his time might be ticking. There is a world, of course, in which he makes it through, but it's really hard when it comes to the end. At least I would imagine for me, it was always, and maybe this isn't the best way to play, but I always wanted to like sit next to people who I was like proud to sit next to. Like I want to beat people who like I'm beating, you know what I mean? Like, and maybe that's not the best way to win $1 million, but like at least my integrity, like my morals is like I wanted to like, you know, go at least in my Survivor dream world, go to the end with people who I like really respected their game and I'm beating out the best. So that's at least for me. I don't know if other people hold that same mental space. At least in Survivor Australia, that's kind of what we saw with like Kirby versus Ferris. That didn't end up working out, but she was like, yeah, I want to go to the end with people who are the best because that's what I want to beat. That's how you truly win. And so that's just an interesting take. So I don't know if other people kind of feel the same way about that, but it's like, do I really like, is this, I mean, sure, it's too easy. It's for $1 million. It's for the winner of Soul Survivor, but like, I don't know. I don't like bringing a go. I just want people to really like, I want like three competitors to go at it. You know, I want it to be like really who could fucking win this. So that.
And those competitors could be Q, Venus, and Liz.
That could be the trio. Yeah. Total for the first time.
I would love a Q, Venus.
Yes.
Wait, yes, we lost you briefly there, but we're good now. That was like the first time on podcast. We're doing good. Sorry, Will. Go ahead.
Who are the other Pisces on this season? I'm curious. I'm a Pisces myself, so I want to root on the Pisces.
Yeah, Q is a Pisces. Liz is a Pisces. And then we had Hunter.
Please say Venus. Okay.
No, Venus is an Aquarius. Who else do we have? We have like two more, I feel like. Oh, Jess was a Pisces. Wow. Yeah, we had like four or five Pisces. I was like, oh my God, this season's gonna be Delulu. Like, no offense, but they can kind of mastermind. Yeah, you have a Survivor fan fiction. That's exactly a Pisces thing. Like Survivor
is
fan
it? Okay.
Fan fiction.
Okay.
Absolutely. I love it. But you could, you know, I want to do like a full astrological reading with Q because, woo, like he is so interesting to me. But yeah, those are the Pisces this season. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. I'm like trying to remember. I'm like, who's in the game?
Yeah, because you did
Hunter.
You did a preseason show with Nerdtainment where you talked about all the astrology. Yes. How did you do? I didn't watch the episode, but how did you do? Were you pretty good at predicting how some of these players were going to be based on their signs?
Oh my goodness. It was like, I was like, this is going to be a chaotic season. I feel like emotions are going to run super, super high. There was a couple in there where I was like, I'm going to have to go back and look. But yeah, the predictions were really fun, and looking at all the charts and the way that people, it was so funny because with Hunter, he's a Pisces sun, Taurus moon. I was like, he's just going to want everything to be comfortable. I'm like, I see him like creating things at camp. Hello. What the man was doing the entire time. He had a room. Like, what does he do? I don't know. You lost me for a second.
He had the whole bed and really everything fun. Though. No, we got up to there. Hunter was building. We got that much.
And he was comfortable. Like, his Taurus moon wants him to be comfortable. He's the Pisces sun. He just wants to be able to, like, he's not like super. Anyways, I'm not going to get into it. We're going to go too long if I start talking astrology. But yeah, Q's at my bottom of the power rankings, back on track. And this season has been as astrologically chaotic as I thought it was going to be.
I love it. So we'll ask you one last question and then we'll wrap this up. Who do you think is going to win the season?
I'm somebody who doesn't like to do winner picks. I'm like weird. Cause it's always changing. I can never make up my mind. I'm going to go. Oh God. I can see a world where Charlie makes it to the end and can win. Right now, I want to say, God, who do I think is going to win or who do I want to win?
You could do both.
Okay. You get two for one. I think, a twofer. Oh, God. I think Charlie could take it if he could take Maria out this round. And, you know, I would love a Liz win. Liz, Venus, or Q. Just give me any of them. Like, I want to see them battle it out at the end. Yeah. If Venus could get some traction and, like, make it happen, oh, that would make me so happy for her to just, like, be like, fuck all of you. I made it past y'all.
It'd be so good.
It'd be amazing. I mean,
she's been playing a great game. Like, she did orchestrate the Tevin vote. I know she felt that her thunder was stolen by the whole Q situation. Yeah. But, I mean, she can sit at Final Tribal Council and say, like, I put the Tevin plan together, and then I've been in on every blind side except for the one against Hunter. She was integral to the Tiff move, even though maybe it wasn't her idea. It had to happen with her. And if she can eliminate everybody except Venus and Q, then I mean, that's a great winning game right there.
Mm-hmm. All right, back at Final 15, I put Liz at my number one in the power rankings, and I want to just screenshot Will's face because he's done a total 180 on, like, Liz is going to go whenever, and to now just, like, Liz, if she wins, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. Right, I know, Will, things have changed, episode. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's per episode saying, basis, and...
it's fun to see you become the Liz stan we've been waiting for you to be since Final 15. This fantasy... Yeah, this guy is actually Will, Kendra. This is Will. He just pretends it's somebody else. He says he's the fantasy.
He has like a little keyboard underneath. He's like,
did you notice he was typing right before this came up? Yeah, Will has the best takes from any pod I listen to, 100. This is the only pod he listens to, and he mutes me whenever I talk. So it's just unreal.
I'd probably make it a more enjoyable podcast. Just Kendra and I going back and forth. Going back and forth
with like awkward like minute and a half silences whenever I'm supposed to be speaking, right? Just blank.
Yeah, like
that's probably more fun to hear.
Well, Kendra, I'm so glad we were able to pull this off. I'm so glad we were able to do it. I know for a second that we were like up in the air. We didn't know what was going to happen. And then we were able to pull it off in your jungle out there. It worked. The Wi-Fi hung through. I mean, really, I think there were just two or three spots where you broke up and then it came right back. So nothing bad, nothing to report here. Very happy.
Yeah. Makes me so happy because I get so stressed out because I just want to like come in for the podcast and do it. And then when it's like Kendra's underwater, I don't like it. So no, I'm happy. This has been such a lovely way to start my morning. Now I'm going to go to the beach and yeah.
It sounds like Hawaii. Yeah. It's 9:19 a.m. You're drinking coffee. I'm ready to go. I'm almost near dinner time. And this is how it goes.
So weird. Well, I'll have so much fun at the event tonight. Tell my sweet friend I say hello and any other friends. Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. This is so fun. What a crazy week to be doing a power rankings. I'm like, where the hell does anyone go on this list? Like, really, I'm so excited for the episode this week. Oh, counting down the minutes.
Yeah. I'll be able to watch in 4 hours or so, I'm told. Oh, yeah, so that's going to be great. Yeah.
Wait, today's – wait.
Phil, can you record it on Monday, not Tuesday?
That's a big no, Will. No, they're doing it tonight. Yeah, it's down in Miami. They're doing a Paramount's putting on a pre-screening, and D is there. So this is going to be really fun. I'm really excited to go down to that and do it. And that's all public knowledge. I'm not sharing anything behind the scenes. It's open to the public. I think it's sold out now, but I know it's open to the public. And I know that now it's like, oh, well, not everybody's guaranteed. And I'm like, how do I get myself on the can't cut list? I gotta make sure I'm guaranteed, you know?
You gotta bring like a press thing, like Survivor specialist. Yeah.
Make a fake press badge.
Yeah, make like exactly. You gotta make like a button or something.
I got sticky notes. It's gonna be perfect.
To post it on your chest.
Yeah,
perfect.
It'll be great.
You know what, Phil? If you have any problems, just call me. Just be like, Kendra's on the phone. They'll obviously be cool.
If Kendra, I'm gonna be very concerned if you take my call from the beach. That's all I'm saying here. So,
I'm probably not gonna have service, honestly. But yeah. I don't take a lot of calls these days. But
one of those.
Thank y'all so much. This is so fun. And let's just see what the who's right? Is Q going to make it through or is Q gone this week? I don't know.
Is Q gone this week?
I don't know.
We will have to see. So thank you everybody so much for listening. Become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. Putting out all of our fun stuff. We got Amazon coming up soon. I know for everybody who's a top tier patron, you've been listening to us talk Thailand. We'll be talking Amazon later this month. We got our casting perspectives with Blake. Survivor Rock Draws. We've done some fun ones recently. So make sure you go check that out. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Kendra, it was a pleasure. And everybody, we will see you Wednesday night after the episode.
See ya.
Thank you so much, y'all.